The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Aisling Larkin is with me, the TV chef and the Mindful Eating Coach, to talk about lunch. Is that right?
Yes.
The humble lunch break.
The humble lunch break.
So this, I believe this decision to cover the topic was inspired by the beautiful wrap that I enjoyed on the show with Simon. He had
that
it in a shopping trolley.
That was just shocking.
The wholemeal wrap with a slight one slice of cheddar cheese in the middle, and I ate it sideways, which seemed to really annoy people online for some reason. I don't know why.
It wouldn't be, that was worrying.
It's a perfectly legitimate way to eat it.
No,
you don't eat a sandwich. If you get a rectangular sandwich, get a sandwich, you cut it in two, where do you take your first bite from? The middle of the sandwich.
You start at the crust. Depends,
you do it in the middle of the sandwich. That's the classic. Yeah, when you do it with a wrap, suddenly you're some sort of war criminal.
Well,
that's what I learned. Yeah, anyway.
I got concerned. So I have brought you five different delicious, nourishing lunches. One for every day of the week. That is a little bit of variety. It's a little bit of interest. They're a little bit nourishing. But I suppose, look, it kind of does spark that conversation, doesn't it? About, do we sit at our desks and eat lunch? Do we take a lunch break?
Yeah, most people don't anymore.
They don't.
Do they? Or lots of people don't.
I'm here today like to take my own advice because I'm really bad at taking a lunch break.
Oh, really?
It's one of those things. Yeah, because you're kind of, particularly if you work for yourself, there's always something to do. And then you're trying to juggle, you know, getting lunchtime's done, getting bedtime's done, getting kids dropped, picking kids up after school. And I think it's our generation as well. I think we kind of got caught in this thing of a little bit of the workaholic thing, as opposed to, you have sometimes the millennials, they tend to be a little bit better when it comes to, you know, they've got their 5 a.m. to 9.
Well, I'm a millennial, so yeah.
They've got their 9 to 5. Oh no, who's the generation before us then? Gen Z.
Gen, oh.
Is it?
Wow. Gen X are the older people. We're millennials, and then Gen Z is after us.
So Gen Z, they're the ones who haven't nailed.
Oh, really?
Well, they seem to have this like 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. where they do workouts and they get their juices and they live their best life. Then they go to work from 9 to 5. And then they insist on taking a proper lunch break.
I think it is. They're worked rulers. That's what I think.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah, they're all kind of like trade unionists in their early 20s, the lot of them.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
But they do. And they don't do that thing that we do, which is,
and then they whinge when after a few years, why am I not progressing in the company?
Maybe they are progressing though.
They're not. They're not.
They have boundaries.
They're all languishing. That's what they're doing. And they're not progressing because, you know what? They don't work through their lunch break like we did.
I know. But we have got to change or we're going to burn ourselves out. So look, I suppose even if you look globally, right, and you look at places like Finland, you look at Japan, like their culture around lunchtime is really different. Years back, I spent 10 months in Finland working with the University of Helsinki, right? Commuted over, spent 1 week out of every month there. And I felt like I was always kind of on the catch up because I was only there 1 week and I should have been there permanently. And I was kind of going, I'll sit and I'll eat my lunch and I'll work through lunch, guys. It's okay. They took offense. You know, it was like, why aren't you having lunch with us? Why aren't you taking a break? Because they solely believe that it's a matter of almost like respect to themselves. It's about balance and it's about you come back to work replenished, refreshed. You're more productive, you're more efficient after you take that break.
And do they do that in Japan as well?
Very much so. But Japan is a little bit different where they are very much based on schedule. And it's about the community and it's about what's best for productivity. And taking a break is best. Sometimes they nap at their lunch break. I'd love a nap at lunch break.
Little daytime nap, be lovely.
I get that 3 p.m. slump really bad. Like, I would happily have a nap at 3 o'clock in the day. And I don't do that either. So I need to start taking my own.
So we're not, when we talk about people not having lunch, what we mean is the lunch break. They're still eating, but they just eat on the go. It's like kind of typing one hand, eating
the
sandwich with the other.
That's it, doing
thing.
Meetings, doing calls. And so often we've seen that in the
I eat my lunch in the middle of our production meeting every day at 1 o'clock. Yeah.
I know.
While everyone else is talking about the show, I'm just eating my lunch. Yeah.
But you see, like, you're not relaxed in that situation. And I'm sure you're not stressed necessarily either, but it is that concept of rest and digest, which is where you want to activate that parasympathetic nervous system. You want to allow time for digestion. You want to allow these enzymes to be produced in your gut so that you can actually digest your food properly and absorb all of the nutrients that are coming from your food. Sometimes we tend to, in those situations, gobble really quickly, take big bites. We don't mindfully chew our food. And a lot of times it even results in bloating and stuff after that. So it's just about taking that break away from work and eating well.
And I wonder because we're going to get into some of the food you've brought in a moment, but I wonder would people be more inclined to do that if they put a bit more effort into the lunch that they were bringing? Do you know, if you just put like an easy single between two slices of bread, you're kind of less encouraged then to maybe take time out and go, no, I'm going to sit down and really savour my easy single and two slices of white bread.
There's not much encouragement. Sure, there's not in an easy single or much. And look, that's why when you do put it...
Plus, easy singles should always be eaten straight out. No, easy singles. Straight off your hand.
Beans again.
Off your hand.
Off your hand.
Yeah, straight. Just take off the plastic. Just eat it like a snack, like it's a biscuit or something.
No.
Yeah, that's the only way to eat easy singles.
There's only
delicious.
Two places for easy singles. One is in a toasted cheese sandwich, and the second is in a cheesy sauce for lasagna.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Easy singles in your lasagna sauce.
Secret, yeah.
Oh, that is interesting.
Or,
I'm sure of that.
I have been fed by the algorithm on Instagram a video where they throw slices of easy singles at babies' heads to get them to stop crying. It is the funniest thing you will ever.
Oh, right, okay. We don't condone that here on News Talk. Throwing cheese at your baby if they're crying.
It is quite funny though.
All right, okay. I'm going to definitely look that up.
Yeah.
But anyway, so will we get on to the food then?
Let's get on to the food.
Okay.
So look, the idea behind it is that you want a little bit of protein in there, or you're trying to hit your kind of 30 grams of protein per meal. You want to get, we so often talk about eat 30 plants a week. You want to have that diversity for your microbiome in your gut. And that's why eating the same lunch every day is not, I know for scheduling and for routine it's good, but it's actually, it's much better to have variety for you. It's really, really good. And the other side of it is if you haven't had a great breakfast, you need to kind of outrun that breakfast. You know what I mean? You need to kind of balance out the sugar spike. You need to recalibrate and get yourself nourished and ready to go.
Where do we start?
So let's go with a soup.
Okay.
Start with some soup.
All right.
This is, so look, I suppose even if you are having a sandwich for lunch, one of the best things to do is like just add a cup of soup.
Sorry, Ashley, I think that's a dessert spoon.
Dessert spoon. We really need to talk to somebody in facilities, don't we, about getting some soup.
Yeah. And well, listen, I say it every week, every time there's soup.
I'm going to buy you a soup spoon and I'm going to keep it in my handbag. Spoons. Bring it every week.
What are we, animals?
This is a really simple tomato soup, okay? But it's tomato and tortellini soup. So what we're doing is we're increasing the fullness, the nourishment and the protein from the soup, right? This soup is so easy. It's up on my website, right? It is basically passata, a sprinkle of onion powder, a sprinkle of garlic powder.
Yeah.
A little bit of stock.
Yeah.
Water. And then dollop in a little bit of cream or creme fraiche or mascarpone or something like that. You've one of the most beautiful, simple tomato soups.
That's it.
That's it. Tiny.
So just passata is all you're getting.
That's it. That's it. And a little sprinkle of brown sugar just to balance out the tomatoes. But then what I did was I had leftover roast chicken. So shred in that leftover roast chicken and then tortellini. And you can eat, like, even if you think of something like a basil and ricotta tortellini. So ricotta is really, really high in protein. So it's a great one to put in. This one is actually a high protein tortellini that I found in the supermarket. So it's chicken and parmesan. Finish it with a little grated parmesan over the top. All of a sudden, a really simple tomato soup.
Yes.
Goes to something that's almost, you know, a cross between a lunch and a dinner. So it's going to keep you fuller for longer. But it's also, it feels like quite a delicious kind of Italian meal, you know.
It is delicious.
It's really
absolutely
nice. And there's a couple of little quality ingredients, like the little bit of good parmesan cheese on top. Really, really nice. Next up, so we're kind of going Italian to Middle Eastern.
Oh, right. Okay.
This is a dal. So dal is like lentils cooked down almost in like a curry paste or a curry powder. And this is one of my go-tos every single week. I love it. But rather than having just a chicken curry or a curry, the base of it is chickpeas and lentils. So it's about 200 grams of lentils, a little bit of, it's a massimam curry paste. So I love a massimam curry. I think it's not too spicy. It's a really kind of well-rounded one to buy if you're ever kind of in the supermarket wondering. Cook that. You can put it in the slow cooker, put it in a saucepan, a little bit of stock, a little bit of coconut milk. Let it all cook down. As it's almost finished then, I put in a tin of chickpeas that were drained. Mm-hmm. And there's just one chicken fillet. But that's going to serve, so the recipe serves like 3 to 4 people. So again, it's that flexitarian way of eating where there is meat, but there's less meat. But where are you getting your protein from? Where are you getting your fiber from? The lentils and the chickpeas. So you're not just relying on the meat all the time. Serve it then with papadoms. Papadoms are only like 37, 40 calories each. And then it's the finishing garnishes. That mango chutney, the coconut yogurt, the crispy onions.
The crispy onions.
They keep coming back, don't they?
Mm.
But there's just, like, there's not even a teaspoon of them on top, but it's just lovely. A little bit of maybe coriander on top or, you know, a couple of greens. And it's just, again, it kind of feels like a dinner, but it's so tasty. And make that up and you'll get 2 or 3 days of that, or else, you know, split it between 2 or 3 people in the house. And it's just, it's a winner. It's
a really nice
one. But super, super cost effective. You take like a bag of lentils are going to cost you about 1.50. A tin of chickpeas is about 49 cents. So you're stretching out those ingredients.
Oh, and you can make that in massive bulk as well, I'm sure.
That's it. It freezes really well and it's a lovely one to have kind of, Yeah, it's just a really tasty one to have. Mm. Foods like that, with that protein content and the fibre content, they're going to stop that sugar craving. That 3-4 o'clock, oh, I want a coffee and I want something.
Yeah.
They're going to just keep you fuller for longer, which is really nice.
That mango chutney is lovely.
Isn't it? That's, it's not a standard one. It's actually the, whatever that black label is in Dunn stores. It's a handmade one and it's made in Ireland.
Mm.
It's a really, really nice one.
Irish mangoes.
Yes. Yeah, we wish. Not quite. Okay, I'm moving you on to, actually, I probably should have started you with this.
Oh, the wrap.
This is a wrap.
Right.
Not to be eaten sideways. He's going to try, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm absolutely going to bite sideways into this now.
I'm going to tell you what's in it while you attempt that feat of sideways eating. This is almost like a breakfast, brunch, lunch. It's delicious. It's a little
bit
messy.
On my face.
There is a little bit on your face. There is.
On my face.
So what's in here? Protein, scrambled egg.
Oh,
avocado.
Yeah?
Yep. So it's like a breakfast one. So there's leftover potatoes. So I had a couple of baby potatoes left over. So you chop up your baby potatoes. There's scrambled egg.
Oh, yeah, there's
then
the egg.
There is, can you get this real herby creamy sauce?
Yeah, what's that?
Okay, so normally in a burrito or a wrap, you would have something like sour cream. That's just the fat, okay? So we want to make it much better for us. So I've swapped out sour cream for ricotta. So again, as I said, ricotta is really low in fat, but really high in protein. I think it is something like 7.9 grams of protein per 100 grams. Cottage cheese has something like 9 or 10 grams. I have a real aversion to cottage cheese. I'm growing to like cottage cheese more, but I don't love it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't love it. You know what? It's real old heritage stuff in my head because, oh, there were so many stupid magazine recipes years ago that were like, you know, best recipe to eat for lunch was cottage cheese with cucumber, or cottage cheese and pineapple on Rivita. Wah, done with
I'm an equal lover when it comes to cheese, any cheese. I was playing tennis the other night.
Very good.
And the guy's playing against in mixed doubles, when we went up to shake hands afterwards, do you know what he said to me? First words we'd said to each other, you love cheese.
Why did he say that?
You love cheese. He actually works for Sheridan's Cheesemongers. So he's kind of,
he listens to the show?
The cheese industry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He knows.
And he listens to the show, and that was his takeaway, how much I love cheese and all dairy products.
Well, yeah. Listen, they're great. There you go. They are great. But it's ricotta, right? So you basically take a tub of ricotta, put it in your food processor, add in things like dill, parsley, chives, tarragon, all those soft herbs, and mint. You get this amazing herby ricotta that is stunning in everything, but it's, again, it's high in protein, low in fat. So it's been smart about the ingredients you put in. So there's avocado in there for good fats. You've got your scrambled eggs for protein. You've got your leftover potatoes, which have resistant starch for your carbohydrates, all in a wrap. So that is like super filling, but lovely. What could be lovely in there as well is a little bit of like refried beans. So a tin of mixed beans with a little bit of cumin. And that would really amp up your protein.
That is delicious. And you know what? I admit it was easier to eat when I went from the top down.
There you go. There you go.
So maybe the sideways approach isn't...
Maybe with those little flat ones that you have.
Yeah.
For something that's actually nice and substantial.
Right, what's this?
This is my New York style dill pickle chicken sandwich on rye.
Wow, okay.
So
dill pickle and chicken.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unusual combination, but like quite a classic New York deli kind of style of food. Again, when we talk about diversity and eating 30 plants a week, something like just swapping up your bread. That's a really gorgeous rye bread from the bakery. And I always love to toast rye bread. I think it kind of works better when it's toasted. Isn't that delicious?
It's so good. The crunch of the bread is lovely.
Isn't it? So you've got the rye bread on the bottom. Then again, that leftover roast chicken shredded up with a little bit of mayonnaise. Or again, you could use something like your ricotta or your cream cheese. And then gherkins sliced up. And a little bit of celery, really finely sliced up. A little bit of Dijon mustard. Season it with salt and pepper. And then the herb dill. And that herb dill, so often it's kept to just fish.
Mm.
It's wasted. We have to get used to eating it because it's such an interesting one. So the dill, the gherkins, the little bit of celery, you could put a little bit of apple in there, the roast chicken, the mayonnaise, and then just serve that on top of your rye bread. So again, you've got that fibre that's going to keep you fuller for longer, and it's protein packed, but it's meat protein packed.
Yeah.
It's delicious. It's meat
protein packed. Oh, it's really nice.
It's really,
really nice.
Tasty. My last one is a really quick kind of snack, which is my loaded hummus that you could have with a poppadom perhaps, or you could just eat it. So it's hummus. My homemade hummus, which is really nice. And again, not all hummus is made equal. If you look at the fat content of the hummus you buy in the supermarket, I'm not suggesting one is better than the other, but just have a look. And it's about, what do you do to make hummus? Like sometimes we'll just scoop the hummus out with the cracker. you know, standing at the fridge and eating it. Yeah. But how can we make it a little bit
more? The olive is lovely with it. I never have olive with hummus.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lovely one. Mm. So I loaded it with a couple of olives. You buy these are the sweet red peppers stuffed with cream cheese.
Yes.
They're in the deli kind of section of the supermarkets.
Oh, yeah.
Nice one of those.
Chop them up.
And then I roast off veggies. So a couple of roast veg that might be left over from dinner. Peppers, courgettes, aubergines, onions, that kind of thing. Sit them on top. And again, back to my lovely crispy onions because they add that lovely little savoury crunch at the end. But it takes a little tub of hummus to something that's actually filling and nourishing for lunchtime with a couple of crackers or a bit of bread. So it's about making that lunchtime about the rest, the restoration, the replenishment, the reducing the stress, allowing you to absorb the nutrients from the food, but also having something lovely so it feels like, yeah, you know what? I do feel replenished.
That's the thing. Like some of these will take longer to prepare than others. Some of them are really, really simple. But they're all so tasty that it kind of would defeat the purpose to just inhale it while you're typing on the keyboard, wouldn't
it? That's it. It's just taken like even 10 or 15
minutes. Lazy Gen Zers, this is what they're eating at lunchtime when they should be working.
That's it.
Yeah.
We'll allow them a little break and get out in the sunshine as well.
Yeah, as long as they work a little later in the end of the day, if they take a break in the middle. That's
all. 5 p.m., boom, they're clocked out and gone while the rest of us are still here.
5 p.m., you're lucky if they're still doing it at 5 p.m. Anyway. Aisling Larkin, thank you. As always, all of Aisling's recipes are up on our social media channels. Quite a few people actually reaching out to me about that toasted brie and apple sandwich last week.
That got a lot of
love. Yeah, a lot of love, a lot of love. So listen, they're all up there, all delicious as always. And Aisling will be back at the same time next week.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.